Good morning, everyone. A pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning and welcome to our April 8th monthly meeting. It is 9 a.m. I'm happy to report we have a full board. We'll start out with a public comment. Whoever would like to speak would come forward and state their name and address, please. Sure. What's your name?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is John Matthews. I'm the village manager for Elk Rapids. This morning, I just want to take a minute and introduce the new village clerk. I'll let her do it, Leah Moskovich. She comes to us with a wealth of experience, so we're very excited. She's on first day of week four.
Yeah, definitely. So, hi. I'm Leah Moskovich. I moved up here about 5 years ago from Metro Detroit, live in downtown Traverse now, but have been a big advocate for workforce housing and government affairs within the 10-county region here. And I previously was at Northwest Michigan Community Action Agency, administering funds for 8 of our counties, helping with emergency home repairs. So have a lot of experience with writing grants, attending public hearings, council meetings, all that good fun stuff, and being an advocate for our citizens to achieve more attainable housing in this area. But now taking my steps into government administration, where hopefully I can make a difference on a more localized level, and really happy to be here at the Village of Elk Rapids and having this opportunity. So thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yep. Congrats.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Mr. Cole?
Good morning. My name is Barry Cole. I live at 602 East Cayuga in Bel Air, and I'd like to be your next probate judge. That's why I'm here today. As you may know, the probate and district courts are changing. And the reason I bring that up is I believe this is probably one of the more important elections for probate court that we've probably seen in our lifetime. Judge Hayes is retiring, so it's an open seat. The district court has been, shall we say, visited by the probate judge for a long time. The state court administrator feels that those two positions are really part-time enough to where they could be combined. I tend to agree. I've seen the studies, I've seen the time studies that they've done on these, and it looks to me like it certainly could be done that way, and if we can make that happen and save the county money, great. That's what I'm all for. Now, in terms of how we're going to do this, there's two ways to do it. Briefly, and I'll be brief because I know you got a lot to do today. The district court is being judged by two judges out of Traverse City. We're in a district with Traverse City and Leelanau, the three counties, and we do share expenses. So the administration of the district court may or may not change. But the state court administrator and the county commissioners do want the probate judge to handle the district court. In fact, it was, I believe, ordered to happen as of April 1st. I'm not quite sure how that transition is occurring. But the point is, you need somebody with experience in both courts. I came out of law school in 1981, came right back to Antrim County, started in both courts. So I literally have 43 years in both of these courts. I've also been a public defender in both courts, which means I've handled a lot of cases. When you're a public defender, you tend to get a lot of cases. So I do have experience in both of those courts. It goes all the way back to the 80s. I can make these two courts run efficiently together. I know I can. It's just a question of whether we're going to be combining the administrations or not. That's an unknown at this point, and I think it should be an unknown at this point because we need to figure out economically whether it makes sense to do that. Because as I said, we are sharing some expenses administratively right now with the other two counties. So, very briefly, I grew up in Mancelona. I'm a 1973 Mansalona High School graduate. So I've spent my life here in Antrim County. In the probate court, that's important. The probate court is the family court. I think it's important that you come from our culture in order to understand what we need. We're turning into more of a retirement community. I think everybody's starting to sense that. We're getting a lot of folks moving up here to retire. That means our age, if you will, is shifting towards more senior. And I think you need a senior to be in charge of those type of matters. Guardianships are going to be huge. When people get too old to take care of themselves, they need a guardian. They don't like it. I've been there. I've represented people in guardianships. I've been a guardian ad litem in guardianships. It's a very tricky deal. You need to know the culture. You need to know the people in order to make good decisions when it comes to that. Finally, I've spent years and years representing parents and children in abuse and neglect cases. That's what probate court handles. Those are, in my opinion, probably the most, they affect the community more than anything. Child abuse is generational. They learn it from their parents, they do it to their children learn it from them, and it just goes right on down the line. So it's important to break that cycle. If you can break that cycle, you've changed generations. I know what works and what doesn't work. I've been there, I've seen it, I've worked with it for years. One of the things we do need is more services back in Antrim County. We're sending too many people to Traverse City for their services. If we have no choice but have to do that, fine, but I'm gonna do everything I can to bring more services back to this county. So I won't take any more of your time. Thank you for your time this morning, and I would really appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, we'll move on. Approval of the meeting agenda. Is there anything that needs to be changed? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
Move to approve as written.
Support.
Okay. You have any further discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we have a full board. Move on to consent agenda. Is there anything that needs to be changed? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
Support.
Okay, we have support. Any further discussion? We'll do a roll call vote, please.
Roll call. Holtz?
Yes.
Soper?
Yes.
Weber?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisvert, yes.
Motion passes. We'll move on. We have State Representative John Roth with us. John? Now, I have also asked John to talk a little bit about sewer, current events, and extra taxes, just so the audience knows he may not be prepared for something other than that. So, I mean, give him a little grace at that point.
I hopefully I can answer those questions. I appreciate it all. State Representative John Roth, representing the 104th, which we're all part of here, which is fantastic and the best district in the whole state. Most water, by the way. We'll talk about water and sewer. So I was start at the economic conference that we had in Traverse City end of January. MISHTA was there. MISHTA is pushing dollars for housing. We like the dollars for housing. It's great. It's wonderful. There's a problem in our district in 104th. We need water and sewer first. They wanted to shove a lot of money at me for housing, and that's great. Once you get me water and sewer. Everywhere I go in our district, the need is water and sewer first. And so I had a nice conversation with MISHTA. Ms. Hovey actually came to me after the conference, said, you know, I never thought about your rural area. I'm thinking more of your big cities in the northern Michigan where we can just put housing in because you have water and sewer there. So she said, I will work with you, with LEO, the Labor Department, to see if we can get some of those federal dollars for water and sewer. So put in your request. Dorrance and I have talked. We know what's going on here, but there's other areas. I mean, Kalkaska needs a lift station for $2 million. Frankfurt needs more. Everywhere in their Ellsworth's got a major issue where they want sewer, and USDA is telling them not unless you charge $450 a quarter for your sewer. So we got a lot of issues. We're working on that. We have that potential. So I want that to be very clear that they promised me they're going to work with me on getting that water and sewer. So,
John, does it have to be all federal money on water and sewer?
No. It'll be a combination of both. Yeah. Is it? Yeah. Absolutely, Dorrance. Yep. And that's good. We need that first. Once we get those things, then we can talk about more housing dollars and that kind of thing. So the second one I'd like to talk about is energy, if I can. The new energy laws that have been passed are considerable, of course, and many of you have seen. My problem is just to be transparent about it. If it's a 50-megawatt station or not, or more, it has to be either it would be approved by your local municipality or it would be approved by the state. If it's under 50 kilowatt, it can actually be, you guys can decide what you want to do. But if it's over 50 kilowatt and you can't agree with the company, in 8 months, you better figure that out. If not, it's going back for the state. The state will cite it, and they are citing them.
Excuse me.
Yes,
when you
sir.
Say 50
kilowatt, yeah.
Is that you're referring to solar?
Could be solar or wind, either
wind
way.
Wind or solar?
Yeah,
okay.
It's the plant arrangement. So if it's all solar, great. If it's all wind and it's 50 kilowatt or more, that can be cited by the state and bypass your local what you want to do here. My concern isn't with DTE and consumers. I've had major conversation with them multiple times to find out what's going on and are you going to push into areas that you're not wanted? And they have plenty of projects to work on. That is not their intention whatsoever. Maybe when it gets closer to the mandated date, that might be an issue. But right now, they got plenty of projects to work on. It's not them. It's the companies that are coming in from out of state. They don't care what your local regulations are. They're here to build wind and solar and make money and sell it to a Great Lakes Energy, a Cherryland Electric. They're the ones that I'm more concerned about. So, and the things you got to think about, I know I'm not against wind and solar. Don't get me wrong. As long as it's in balance, I'm okay. And I understand a lot of people that have sold property for it. It's understandable. My concern is having that true balance. You have to have a base load. If you don't have a base load of something, whether it's nuclear, natural gas, we're gonna have problems. Storage is not there yet. Storage is a decade plus away. Once you get storage, then you can talk about wind and solar. The problems we have is we need 450,000 acres of land in Michigan to do what we need to do. 450,000 acres.
You know that'll come out of the ag sector.
No question. And I don't want to go with the farmers have to make that decision because I know it's tough in the industry they're in. They're going to have to decide what's best, but it is going to be targeted. It's easy to go after the ag sector because the fields are already cleared. It'd be easy for an out-of-state place to come in and say, I'll take 100 acres right here. It's cleared. It's ready to go. I don't have to take down any trees or anything else. This can be easy. The negatives are what we've not thought about that now is coming to light is aggregate or gravel. The amount of cement needed to set a wind turbine or secure a solar array is measurable. It's considerable. So much so that even though it's been said we have hundreds of years of gravel in some of our sites here, we can't produce that much in 1 year. So now we are starting to see shortages in gravel or aggregate for cement and pavement. You just can't produce that much in 1 year to get it out there. So the cost of that's going to go up. The fact then you have to buy the wind and solar turbines, of course, and then you have to, one that keeps getting forgot is ITC. ITC is the grid provider. They're the lines. There's the power cables, the generation cables that get out to where it's being generated. There's not enough cable at this point to actually go out and get all that energy where it's going to be in more rural areas. So the cost of that's going up. So anybody that tells you the cost of energy is going to go down is not telling the truth. If I tell you that, I'm lying. If somebody else tells you that, they're lying. It's going to continue to go up. There's three rate increased asked for already. Consumers and DTE both got a rate increase. DTE went back for another rate increase for what they want to do. So there were some commercials in our area that were saying that people that supported the bills are going to lower your prices by hundreds of year, $100 a year, hundreds of dollars a year. That's a flat out lie. That's just not the case. It's not going to happen, gang. And even if I tell you we have efficiencies out there, it's not going to go down. It's going to continue to go up, and this is going to make it go up. They tell me not as much as we claim, but it's going to go up. There's no doubt about it. So the other one that I want you to be aware of, short-term rentals. Short-term rentals is not dead. It's still on the conversation down in Lansing. And what's concerning is MML, which represents the villages and cities, and MTA seem to be getting on board with this short-term rental project or proposal. It is actually charging short-term rentals at about a 6% rate and taking that money and letting local municipalities use it for different things. It's not a done deal yet, but it is on the, they're talking about it again. Every time I turn around and think it's dead, it's coming up again. So be ready for that.
Would you go a little deeper? Is that meaning the state will supersede all the ordinances or
yes.
policies?
Yes, really will. They'll take away most. Sure. They'll let you do cars in the driveway, you know, hours of operation, quiet time, that kind of thing. But as far as whether you can allow them or not, they're going to take a lot of that control away.
It was my understanding it didn't go anywhere.
No, no. Last time it did not go. Last term, I got on the bill. I have to be honest. I learned the hard way. Don't get on a bill if you want to work on it. Because if you get on the bill, they think you support it. And if you support it, then you're not going to come talk to you. So it's funny. Jack O'Malley and I sat next to each other, and they'd come at, Jack was totally against it, never signed on. They came and talked to him every day about it. Is this going to work? Would this work? For me, who's on the bill, who was not wanting to work on the bill, they never even talked to me. So that just died. It did die. We have to be careful of that bill. I don't even say this summer. I say next fall, this coming fall. The lame duck session could be interesting. We'll see. Ax My Tax is a one that's gaining some, I understand from recent reports, it's gaining some speed downstate. It's very interesting. It would take away property tax, but it's going to have to make up that tax some other way. What we heard is from people working on it, it would be a 20% sales tax if we lost all the property tax. And obviously, you guys know it better than I do, even from a local level, your fire, your safety, your police. I mean, 20% sales tax, then we'd be counting on a lot of, I think, out of state tax dollars. And if it's a 20% sales tax, who's coming to Michigan to vacation? Florida's only 11. I'd go to Florida instead. But it is getting some steam, I understand, downstate. We'll see. The other one that's out there potentially.
Well, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, no. Go ahead. Ask me.
My concern is, obviously, we've had Proposal A for so long. This is one way to get rid of Proposal A, is what I'm seeing. It's my opinion.
Correct.
That's what's happening. Yeah. Because sooner or later, they're going to come back on property taxes.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they'll just do it a different way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll have lost our position on Proposal
Correct.
A, and that's why I'm so concerned about the tax deal.
Yeah.
It sounds good in the front end.
No. It'd be nice not to have to pay any property taxes, but I also want Kevin to come get me if I have a problem or take care of me.
And how can you even begin to think about this with different villages, towns, cities that are bonded out on projects? Mm-hmm. How are they going to deal with all the bonding that's out there?
It's not in there. I mean, it would be something that the legislature would probably have to fix or take care of or find a way to fix that if it gets enacted. So it's going to be interesting. I think you'll see probably more advertising both ways come election season, which is not too far away as we're getting there. But It would be, I think, it would be a year worth of legislative action just to try and figure out what the heck we're going to do.
Well, because it'd be devastating for all of us.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm just afraid of the outcome.
Yep. I don't know the polling right now. We haven't seen any good polling in Lansing on it. I'm just gut feeling that it's not above 50 yet, but if it gains traction downstate, that is concerning.
Well, on the front end, it looks really great. No more taxes.
Right.
But you got to ask the question about what?
Yeah, you're going to pay it another way. There's no doubt about it. We can't just discount these services. It can't happen.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're dead on. The other one is the local control of siting for wind and solar. There is a proposal out there, Land Choice, I forget exactly what it is, the name of it. That started slowly. It's starting to move. That might give our locals a little more opportunity to have choice or control over what happens with wind and solar. And even several of my really across the aisle people that I've talked to even actually support that a little bit. So we'll see on that one. Yeah. Trying to think of any, I certainly answer any questions of anything else, Don Lansing, that you see, guys.
I've got a couple when we're ready.
Yeah,
go ahead, Mike.
Let it rip.
I guess I'll start with short-term housing and then the state of Michigan taking local control, so to speak. What are the immediate differences that will occur? I don't expect you to know Elk Rapids ordinances.
Right.
What do you think locales, especially beachcomber locales, will suffer from or benefit from it when the state, if the state takes control?
Well, the people that have these short-term rentals will benefit because there'll be more opportunity, obviously, to buy. I don't think it helps our local communities at all. I think it hurts them more than anything, especially if we can't set a percentage. Let's say you only want 5% of your homes to be short-term rentals. I think it's going to be a higher limit than that. My guess it's going to be somewhere around 15 or 20%. So I think it's going to hurt a great deal. Frankfort, Michigan is a perfect example. Frankfort home values about 6 years ago, about $165,000. They're over $600,000 downtown now. They've raised 500%.
I'm sure I'm missing a variable, John. Thank you. That answers my question.
Yeah.
It begs another one for me at least, please, which is I'm getting a lot of conversation around housing. I'm getting a sense of a lot of values around housing. And it seems like the state, I am a libertarian, so I'm kind of torn, but the state is going to make it more libertarian and less about the housing, the volume of people, of lobbyists, so to speak, saying give me short-term housing and the libertarian aspect of that. Supersedes the desire for more housing. Is that what I'm, can I understand that?
I think the best way to say, Mike, is that the lobbyists for the municipalities believe that they want that money to take back to the villages and cities and where you can use it for fire, soup, water, housing, daycare, whatever you want to use it for. They think that's of value when before they got nothing out of it. So I'm not particularly there yet. I still have problems with that, especially up north, as we know, our Elk Rapids, our Frankfurts, our Traverse City areas, obviously. It's a problem to try and keep the values down and keep people in the area. I do see some good housing growth. There are some apartments and different things that we're seeing grow up. But in some of our rural areas where we don't have that water and sewer issue or have that benefit of water and sewer, it is a problem. That's the other one, is that the state doesn't want to see any more houses on septic, preferably. Preferably, because your county health departments are going to have to do all the inspections on all those septic tanks. That has slowed a lot. That had a lot of movement last year and slowed, but I see that potentially coming up in the fall again. Trying to find that balance of whether it's a five-year, start out as a five-year inspection, and our county health departments would go bankrupt. There's no way they could do it in the five-year period. They don't have enough inspectors. They don't have the kind of money to do that. So it's been talked about 10 or 15-year inspection rates for our county health department to inspect all septic tanks in their county. That's cost, and it's an unfunded mandate.
I've got to caution my board colleagues.
Sure.
The master plan conversation is coming. We've heard some things already about the community and about what, about the future in the state and in the community, and I will bring these up again when we talk about the master
plan. I'm sure you will.
Go ahead.
I do have another question.
Sure.
And it goes back to the very beginning of your commentary, please, John, when you talked about MSHDA. You talked to MSHDA, and I've heard before that MSHDA thinks about the big cities, when, and perhaps as it should, you know, the volume of taxpayers deserve the volume of distributions, and we're somewhat forgotten, given our, the thinness of our population.
Yeah.
They can't, when it comes to the grants they give, and again, in the context of housing, they, it, who controls the spigot, so to speak? And again, I heard the size of the flow, at least, is dictated by, is dominated by urban areas. Did you,
did we, and the master plan
speaks to this too, we're pro-water, pro-resources. Mm-hmm. Did you divert some funding from housing to sewer? Did the pie get bigger? How should I take
that?
The
pie got bigger. Okay. Federal dollars have came in. They claim there's $1.7 billion of infrastructure dollars, which would include water, sewer, also internet. It's a broad group of issues, but the number is from that federal influx. There is still statewide money for water and sewer, no doubt about it. They've got skin in the game, definitely. Yeah. But there has been some new bills passed over this last year to distribute the monies to more local rural areas. So there is a better pie out there that we will see more dollars. And there will be, there's still a bill that hasn't passed yet. 293, it's a Senate bill that would, it's more of missing middle. It's that middle income component, not just low or high or apartments. This is that middle income. That has not passed yet. It's still out there. It could pass, and that may help us too.
One last question.
Sure.
Thank you very much. And it's all kind of ties together in my mind, or I'm trying to be clear in my mind when I think about this and talk about this. I read an article a few months ago, and man, I think, I could swear it was nonpartisan, clinical, Michigan government-based, spitting out kind of a study. And the conclusions I took from it, and some of the verbatims were, Michigan is aging and shrinking.
Yes.
Prepare to close down schools. Please do not compete for students. Or, you know, the person writing it seemed like they could see the state, and it's like, my God, if everyone fights for a shrinking pie, we're just going to bleed tax dollars. So accept it. We're getting older and smaller, and there will be things happening from that. Is that, John, did I read the right, I mean,
you did.
Find that link again? Is that how this
You are correct. I just read one over the weekend, too. We are getting older, and we are expecting to lose another congressional district out of the state of Michigan by 2050. An entire congressional district. That's another 700,000 people approximately out of the state of Michigan. So now that gets into a whole new game with immigrants coming into the state and some of the, we obviously love our immigrants that work on our farms and are legal and they're supposed to be here. Don't want to go that way. But that's the big push now, is to get more immigrants, or whether they're legal or illegal, into the state to get our numbers up. I will bring up the one real concerning thing that we just found out. Many of you may have heard about a $500 rent supplemental that's given out monthly for a year. The criteria is much worse than we thought it was to begin with. They're just giving it out. It was part of the, one of the reasons I could not vote for this budget last year. $25 million were given to this group called Global Michigan. It's a federally run state part, we're part of it, to welcome immigrants into the state of Michigan. Well, we would hope they'd be all legal that they were doing. But we're not seeing that be the case. It was a $25 million amount of money that was given to them in the budget last year, which they refused to tell us what that was for. And now we're finding out what it's for. And it's actually going to be worse than, we're still digging into it, our policy people are. Those are the kind of things that just rub you wrong. We could take $25 million up here, and what could we do with that money? It would be amazing what we could do in northern Michigan with $25 million.
Don't disagree. 25 mil is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Everything you say, John, begs more questions. Here's another hopefully easy, quick one. Everywhere in the world, population growth is seen as a good thing. But in this role and where I get easily confused, I think about Elk Rapids being in an aging, smaller town covered with beaches and water. And I feel about that that all of our loyalties and responsibilities are to the current taxpayer. I hear a lot of dialogue that is meant to bring about the next taxpayer, and I'm not so loyal to the next taxpayer. I'm loyal to the current taxpayers. I'm going to give them what they want.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why Northern Michigan and or Elk Rapids should seek why we desire population growth? I personally don't know anyone who does.
I think
All the time like it's a good thing.
I think balanced growth or a sustained growth is what I always suggest. I mean, Traverse City, I'm Grand Traverse County guy, living near Interlochen. So we found some of those problems, obviously. We are growing at a rate that is hard to sustain. I think a sustainable growth rate, because you want to always have a fresh group of people that are in their early 20s, 30s, that are going to be your next generation, sure. But you do have to take care of the current.
I shake my cane at them.
Yeah.
I say, get off my yard.
But the only reason I would say hesitate on that, and I'm working on a couple of things, trying to figure out why we're losing all the young people. We're actually doing some discussion on this. One is the weather. There's no question. We'll never get past the weather in Michigan. There are kids that want to go to Florida, South Carolina, you know, you name it. But what would keep them here? We just want to keep them here. I don't even care if we grow necessarily the state, as long as we keep our population fairly close to what it is. But we got to find out why the kids are leaving. Partly it's jobs that we're not paying attention to, trying to keep them here. There's no doubt about that. But I think I think you need to have that generation that's going to take care of us as we get older too. When I'm in that nursing home, which I hope I never have to be, but you never know, I want to make sure there's people that can take care of me too. So we just want to keep our generations here, not necessarily grow the population. I agree there, but if we keep a stable population in Michigan, that would be my goal.
Does the board have any more questions for John? I see some in the audience, but
sure.
Sir?
John, you mentioned the cost of utilities related to the solar. What does it cost per megawatt to build a solar project?
That's a good question. I can dig into that. I don't know the exact per megawatt. Boy, that's a good question. No one's ever asked me that one. Yeah. Partly the problem is they only want to have their own. So one of the problems we've seen in Michigan, and I will say this all day long, we don't like competition in Michigan. We don't like fair competition. We want our own thing. So DTE wants their own energy. Consumers wants their own energy. We are not a good state at good competition. I wish we were, and we should be. I'm a competition person, but DTE won't. They'll only do their own. So to say, would they buy somebody's energy from somewhere? They do some, but not much. The only one that I know of right offhand that's shared is the pump plant in Ludington, which is an amazing facility. If we had three more in this state, we would be in really good shape for a very long time. DTE and consumers share that. But it's one of the few projects that I know of, and the wind turbines they have there at the pump plant too. They all share in that project. Yes. Most are our DTE or consumers. Most of them are DTE, I believe, in that area. Consumers has more north. I know Consumers has the one in Manton area. That's all Consumers bought that. They really are. They don't tread in each other's area too much. That's
so the Cherry Lake project must be one of the
probably, but it could be a DTE. It could be a Great Lakes Energy, or I know Cherryland Electric has to do that too. So both of them today, even our co-ops have to be 100% renewable by 2040, which Cherryland Electric said, leave me alone. We're 68% renewable right now, and they're doing better than anybody else in the state by far, and they're still telling them, no, you have to do more. So they're not real happy about that. I wish I could tell you exactly what it is, over like a gas-powered plant, because I just don't know that number, I'm sorry. And it's harder to get it because they do it inside. Yeah.
Is there anyone else that has a question? Sure.
Yeah, I have a question. So you're talking about short-term rentals, and is this the same six-bill housing package that was about a couple of years ago? And is this, what is it, House Bill 4022 when it comes to moving that permit on short-term?
It's not from couple, it couldn't be from a couple years ago. It might have been from last year.
Okay.
There is a five or six bill package. It never has gotten to committee yet.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem. And don't ask me to remember numbers. There's 5,000, there's 2,000 some, no, we're up to almost 2,000 bills already for this term. Sorry, go ahead.
So, but here's my follow-up question. Yeah. If you're removing the cap, then how is it supposed to support the statewide housing plan that's supposed to create X amount of homes by 2022?
Correct. It doesn't take away a total credit or a total amount, I believe. I think it's, last time I knew it was 30%.
Okay.
So you couldn't have, you couldn't shut down anything more than 30, how am I saying that right?
Yeah.
You have to have up to 30% of short-term rentals in your housing stock.
Gotcha.
Now, they are working on it. I keep hearing it. They keep hearing the.
I just think it takes away from the statewide.
Oh, plan, there's, yes. As a, maybe a little bit, my little bit of libertarian part of me.
I have my answer to that question. Go ahead, though, John.
Yeah, but my libertarian part of me, I would say, is that it's my property, you know, so there's always that push and pull between what's my property and what I can do with it and what's good for the state.
And I would have thought, John, that the government's opposed to libertarians. I hate to be a rebel, but what I'm learning is municipalities, Leah, are pressuring the government.
That is definitely part of it.
To not act like a normal government, but instead act in their interests, and their interests are revenue-based, as always,
yeah.
And they're winning the argument, Leah, is why is short-term housing, and the way we know it and the way you desire it, will be shrunk at the expense of more people getting what they want, libertarians kind of winning out because there's more revenue in the libertarian path.
That's the push-pull, yeah. And I wouldn't, it's not moving fast. I just hear it's moving again. So I don't know where we're at yet. What to watch for is lame duck. After the elections in November, that's when we all got to be very, very aware of what's going to happen, because there's a couple scenarios. If I hate to bring in my political part of it, but if Republicans win back the House, those 2 months are going to be something we haven't seen in a long time. But if we don't, then I still think you'll see quite a few of the actions go through, but maybe not as many.
I've got a follow-up, but I've got to get John Matthews involved in this one. John, why aren't you talking about your sewer plant and expansion and grants?
Why am I?
Why aren't you?
I already am.
But John, I got to get...
We will talk, John. Yep. You don't have to do it right now, but I'll sit with him.
Because I know with what we're talking about, John Matthews and myself, the township, with what we'd like to do and what you brought up on the housing situation to try to do more sewer in Elk Rapids Township, potentially we're going to need probably, from what John's telling me, a plant expansion. And to do that, do they have to... I'll ask for you. I'll just start it. Do they have to expand in the same location, or could a village expand in another location?
I don't think it would require you to be in the same location, no. I think you could expand. Mansalona is having a little bit of that issue right now, trying to figure that out, because they did the expansion and did sewer, and then the cost was two-thirds more than they thought it was going to be. So they're about 2 miles short of what they needed to do. So they're asking again. But they're then talking about whether they hook up the homes, because most of it's just businesses right now. If they hook up the homes, their current system won't work. They'll have to go to a pond system. And so I think it's all eligible.
Anything else, John?
Good question, John.
You want me to stand up? Can I speak from this? Okay. I'll just stand up. So what we're looking at in Elk Rapids, and I passed our wastewater department head to look at, is, you know, what is the cost? Let's do incremental costs. What is it going to take us to increase by 25%? What would it be, 50, 75, and 100? And where, you know, where do we look up economies of scale as well? Yeah. So without, you know, we do have a significant piece of property over there. We're already doing it via pond. We are looking at splitting up the way that our pump stations work. Currently, it all flows through one. I want to set it up so I've got two failover stations. And that is also going to be part of the component of being able to handle more. We all see what's coming. Everybody should see what's coming.
Yeah.
There's going to be some ag land turning into developments, whether or not it's, I mean, 30% of short-term rentals as well. Granted, you're going to have lower use in off seasons, which is things for the fraction of the budget. But still, we are looking at the costs to find out what those right points are. And it goes up. So every year that it's not done, but again, looking at the economies of scale, what's the utility value, build it and they will come. Where they come and you haven't built it, you're going to be behind the curve.
Right.
Yeah. John, with John Matthews, please, with the state, with us shrinking and aging in northern Michigan becoming more retiree-based, it tells me more seasonal houses. Do you have, you've got a, I mean, it's going to be a little expensive for all of us, right, to have so much of the northern Michigan population hitting the system really hard in the summer, and with the weather, having it be dead in the winter.
That is a problem. Flow rates drop considerably in the winter. So, again, you need to forecast that. But, again, short-term rentals right now are 4.2% of Elk Rapids, really Elk Rapids. If you go to 30%, you're looking at over 400 units.
Agreed. Jack up the seasonals, jack up the short-term rentals, shrink the year-round base, and you've got kind of an infrastructural challenge, and we're just going to have to build out to the max in the summer, huh?
Again, we're going to see where the forecast goes. It depends on, right now we're capped at 61, at least in the village. Township, I believe, is not at the cap. But we have 61 maximum licenses that are issued for short-term rental.
Yeah, but let's, I mean, the winds are blowing.
It's moving well, now.
Let me step on your question a little bit, because Shelly and I have been pushing for sewer I like doing that. Because John and I have been talking about, if the state, similar to the housing program with the rentals, comes in and mandates sewer, now can you confirm they are not going to pay for it? Probably.
In some cases, that is definitely the case. Yeah. Beulah's got that right now.
And the cost goes out of control, and Shelly's been more involved in that directly through Traverse and her previous, but our concerns have been if we could do it as a township working with a village, I believe we can do it through bonding and giving more time to work through it and give homeowners a choice. But if we wait and don't move forward and get
mandated
support from homeowners, they could get stuck. What they think is a big bill today, it's going to get a lot larger as time goes on. And don't take this wrong, but if the state oversees it, it's going to get really expensive.
I don't take any offense.
That's why I'm pushing John, because I'm hopeful our township residents will see the value in what we've already done, but also try to be proactive versus waiting. Because what you're saying, it's coming.
It sure sounds like it. With the sewer, with the septic issue, with them dealing with that, that's forcing the hand of the sewer systems. And Eagle hasn't been the nicest to work at in that sewer end of it. So Beulah's got a problem right now where their septic system's out of date. They just came in, Eagle did, and said, you got to update your entire system. It's $10 million.
How much?
$10 million. They're already paying $350 a quarter for water and sewer. I mean, where are you going to get $10 million? And they're mandating them to do it in a certain period of time. Well, I've gone to Eagle and said, knock it off. It doesn't mean that I'll get my way, but I'm telling them there's no way. You guys are unrealistic in your mandate and how this is going to work. And without financial help, you're going to bankrupt the city just in their sewer problem. So
I'm fond of your request to MISHTA to divert sewer, because when we come to master plan, I'm a clean water guy. Yeah. You didn't step on my point, even though I know you want to. I'm only trying to point out the macro forces that Lansing has validated. What the little bit I'm reading and seeing says that Elk Rapids and things, inflation alone, plus just the way we use it, to me, and the master plan tells me now is the time for Elk Rapids to do something probably decisive.
You need to be planning it, yeah. I think you need to be planning it, yeah, absolutely. And then request the funds, too. I mean, there's both USDA and Michigan dollars, so USDA, you get, I think it's going to become, I'm very hopeful that it's going to become better. USDA and the local guy here that's no longer with the group, they were pushing for $75 to $100 sewer rates a month to, in order to expand. That's one of the Ellsworth problems. If they do all three phases, they can afford it. But they're telling them they can only do one at a time. And it'll start out at, again, $150 to $250 a month for sewer in Ellsworth with that. And they're also telling them they're $65,000 average income in that area. And Charlevoix is 32. Yeah. So numbers aren't quite right there.
Doesn't work.
No, doesn't quite work.
Well, Shelley, you've been quiet, and I know you've got to have a question for John.
I was just going to say, I'm glad you're working with MISHTA and USDA, but through all of our projects, we have tried to go through them, and due to our tax base, we don't fit in anywhere, and right. It's too bad because the tax base is, yes, along certain areas, but the rest are normal people that can't afford that, right. And that's why those sewer and water rates are so high, because, right. You know, it takes that much to build the sewer and to pay off those bond debts along the way. We've been really lucky so far with our sewer projects because we've worked local and gotten some good interest rates for things, but there's still people that can't afford it, yeah. and we had to force the issue for those few so that we could get the main sewers done, and that's not a happy place to be in.
No.
I don't like doing that, but we've got our projects done and we need more, but the state is not a helpful place for areas like ours.
But John, your dialogue with MISHTA began that.
I think we got a dialogue going that I think will be better. I think there are some new rules that are better. Don't get me wrong, I think we got a lot of work to do. Economic conference, again, the last thing I said that day was, somebody said, well, what's the difference between north and south? You know, you hear that all the time, and I said, 80-20. And
yep.
Everybody said, what do you mean? 80% of the budget went south of Midland last year. 20% went north of Midland. And you want to come up and visit us and have all these nice areas to go see, stay.
South of Midland.
And yeah. Yes, and you gave us 20% of the budget, and that's probably being a little generous.
John, I hate to be a weenie, but I forgot to go with the finance, so I have to conform to it. Population 20%, 80-20, tax revenues 80-20, anything that makes that fair, even though I hate it?
Maybe it's close to that, but it never should be. So part of the equation, again, I have to bring a little politics, and I'm sorry. Whenever the majority's been in office, they get 60% of the budget. Minority gets 40. That's been the way for the last 40 years dealing with the Senate, okay? And our guy that just left, our appropriations guy that had been there for 20 years, said we never did that to the minority before. And we did not get our 40% this time. We got 20. I don't expect to get 80% north of Midland, but I want my 40. And if you want to come visit, you want to have your short-term rental up here, you want to do that kind of thing, you need to be making sure that it's equity throughout. And we're not even talking to UP. Yeah. Poor guys in the UP, gals, sorry. You got one thing, I think, up in Marquette, and that was about it out of the budget. There are a couple senators. I will give John DeMoose and John Bumstead. The Senate has far more leverage over the budget than the House does, just so we're all clear on this. They have to give immediate effect to the budget in order for it to go through in that year. Otherwise, the budget doesn't get approved for a year. It doesn't start for a year. We actually go without funding for a year. Rarely happens, but the senators have immediate effect. So if they don't give that immediate effect, that's not happening. So they were able to pull out some projects that I'm very thankful for. The House does not have that option. We don't, our immediate effect is voice vote. We don't get to vote on it. The Senate actually literally votes on it. So I give John DeMoose and John Bumstead both credit. They both got some needed projects, safety projects in particular, that we did get in northern Michigan. That's where we got our 20. Maybe. So that has to change. I called out the governor. Again, not trying to be too political, but I called out the governor. She was at the economic conference, and so was the Speaker of the House, and I said, that can't happen again. Not if you want to see a vibrant northern Michigan that you want to come see. So I did put some pressure. Hopefully that they got felt a little guilty of that, and I think maybe they did because they're talking to us a lot more. We'll just see what's in the budget. If we get another $25 million for Global World Headquarters in Detroit, that's a hard one to take.
Now that one just kind of surfaced in the last few weeks.
They never told us what was in it. We saw it when it was in the budget, and we said, what is that? And they went, something.
Something.
We're not undetermined at this time. There were two or three of the things like
it's
that.
It's really frustrating when we talk about the new police station and center that we need to, that Kevin needs.
Exactly.
Big time, right? And 20-some million dollars, you get half of that, you're almost home, right? Like
there was, we were told we were going to get a juvenile treatment center in Traverse City for the regional. That's really meant for the whole northern Michigan region because there are none, right? Where do you have to send people, Kevin? Detroit? We were going to. Yeah. Detroit, if we're lucky. If not, they're out of state. In the Grand Traverse region, there were two kids that were sent to Washington State. Under 18 years of age, they can't be out in public, they're violent, but they could be treated, hopefully. We can't give up on them, right? Hey, 17 years old. But we were told we were going to get that in Traverse City for $26 million. Oh, that was cut.
Let's put something down in Detroit.
Let's put something in Detroit. Let's put $25 million at a World Global Michigan headquarters that. And I would go into others, but some
of them. Great if they get rid of the lobbyists, make that illegal. That'd be fantastic.
Term limits, now the change in term limits, I'll give you a closing thing that maybe it's good. I think the change for term limits that have happened potentially could make a difference. You are correct that lobbyists have run Lansing for most of the time because we're there, the House members were there for 6 years. And then if we were lucky enough to run for the Senate, if it was open, maybe we would get that time in. But we're never guaranteed. It was six and out. Now that the change in the term limits means that potentially, I don't know that I would particularly do this, but I would have 12 years in the House. As you start getting more seasoned eight-year, maybe a 10-year member in the House, I think you'll see some changes where there's some actual, not necessarily the lobbyist running everything. You'll have some older, seasoned representatives there that could make a difference. So I'm hopeful for that part of it.
Yeah.
Well, does anyone else have anything for John? Well, if not, thank you, John.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for letting me come in. Thanks for having her back.
We'll move on to Cherry Capital Connection, Metro Act application.
Levi Schreffer with Cherry Capital Communications. We're right out here in Elk Rapids. We're on 95 Lake Street, a family-owned, operated company. We're expanding a fiber-to-the-home network in many regions in rural Michigan. We're focused on rural Michigan, just bringing up digital equity across the state. We have our Metro Act application. I have the check and the signed copy of the application. You should have the initial copy, but that's the signed copy from our owner. We're expanding down Elk Lake Road down to Townline Road initially for our initial build out. We are looking at expanding more across the township across over time. We're looking at expanding up to Bel Air as well in the future. But we're just getting our initial project started in that area. So Any questions about the Metro Act application or our expansion in Elk Rapids here?
Does this submission, Levi, start the 45-day? Your previous doc had March 25th on it.
Yeah.
But now that the check and the signed application are in, today begins 45 days for our contract.
That'll start the 45 days. Yeah.
Okay.
Bill, do you have any questions?
Yeah. That was, you hit the one right there, because no check, no signature.
Yeah.
But on your cover email, you also said there would be a CLE description designation, which we hadn't seen as part of your cover letter, or the insurance binders. The map was there, $500 was not, application wasn't signed.
Yeah.
That was it. You solved some of them. Did you put the insurance binder with what you gave them and the CLE?
Yes.
Description?
Yep.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And the 45 days starts today.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll aim, I haven't discussed this, next board meeting we'll approve it with some minor changes, and I'll discuss those changes with you.
Okay. Yep. My contact information is provided. Just reach out to me. And
I can walk across the parking lot.
Just come on down to the office. We'd love to see you for sure.
Because our aim, just so you know, I don't want to hit any punches, they approved, meaning the Township Board, in 2022, a very similar bilateral agreement permit with Great Lakes Energy. And that's where we're going to model it on that, and that's it.
Okay. Yep, not a problem.
I will say, just from my own thinking, you're more optimistic than I am. I've read this and thought, wow, I need all those 45 days. I care about when it starts. Because there's so much to it, to me, seemingly, Levi, but I'm new to this, so maybe it's easy and already patterned, so to speak. But one thing I saw in here was it suggested you say, where we'll dig, right or left, and I don't quite know what it means infrastructurally, traffic-wise, for the populace, and I noticed it goes until from 24 to 27. So I have no idea how intrusive, so to speak, this is on the population summer and winter between now and 27.
So the time ranges for the total scope of our project, just our initial build out, it's not going to take that long. It's going to be complete by the end of the summer. So for Elk Lake Road and Town Line Road, that'll be complete. But we're going to be operating from the edge of the right-of-way, so on private property as we get service orders, right? But we are looking to expand even further, and that's why the time frame is further on into the future, so that way we can extend more of the network to more of the underserved homes in the area.
Love the mission. Just don't know quite what I'm signing up for in terms of Township did this to us when all the roads signed. You know, I'm sure it's not that invasive, so to speak. But I'll learn more about it in the coming
days. Two points on that.
Yeah.
They're applicant, not to you, John, I was saying that, John, Mike, this is a state of Michigan application and permit form, okay? They demand that, state of Michigan does. They're not building anything new within the permit or the application. The only thing, one there I said, one of their emails said Township is owner of the roads. We don't own the roads, okay? You know, they're county right-of-ways is what they are. They're going to need, meaning Cherry Plan, or Cherry Capital, is going to need permits from, depending what side of the road they're on, coming downtown line, Antrim County, Grand Traverse County, okay, mm-hmm. on that. And they'll have to follow whatever the county says on that. And then from the county right-of-way to the structures, yeah, that's a private easement into the structures on this thing.
Yeah.
And they have to report annually to the state of Michigan how much wire they got in the ground, because they pay a metro permit, now I'm getting into you, to the state of Michigan, and wherever that wire is located, the number of miles of wire in the township, the townships, the villages get a percentage.
Hmm. Thank you.
We pay an annual tax per foot of network that we have within the public right-of-way. Even though it's county right-of-way, which we will be permitting with the county and DOT, these are going to be county roads, but that annual tax does not go to the county, it goes to the township that it resides in. So it's distributed by the state. We pay to the state, and then it's distributed to the township.
I get it, because I get the checks, thank you very much, I understand that part of it. It's just, what's it gonna cost the populace for us to say yes to this? I mean, I know the benefit is, I love the mission.
Yeah.
I just don't know the impact that we're signing up for.
So, it's, once we get approved permits, and schedule it into our build schedule, I mean, we're, right now, I'd have to run a little bit of better numbers on this, but I would not expect this project to take over, for this section of the project within the township, I wouldn't expect it to take over a month and a half at the most, so. But that's just for the, that's for our mainline build. Obviously, we're gonna have crews coming out occasionally as customers sign up for service. But that's once we have full engineering and full permitting. This is the beginning of that process, not the end, right?
So I hate to be, to hold you to the words, so to speak, or be a contractual guy, but I'm gonna be that way for a minute. The document, I could swear, said we break ground May of 2024 and conclude sometime in 2027. Does it have to say that, Levi? It seems a little bit like I'd be signing up for.
So it's why we have it as a broad range, like I said. That's not just for these roads. These are the initial roads, right? This is our initial project, but we are looking at expanding to the north side of the township. We're looking at expanding more within this region of the township.
Are you kindly omitting, hey dummy, it says that and you missed it? Because if it does say that and I missed it, then I do that all the time, Levi. But if it doesn't say what you just said, could you add that language to this?
Yeah, saying, we can
saying
be.
Saying what you're about to approve is this big and the bigger plan is this big?
Yeah, we can. Please? We can add some wording in there just to make it more clear for this specific project. But we definitely want to, I mean, I hope everybody wants better internet service in the broader township. That project's going to take much longer, and it's going to be over the next few years.
Cool, so, thank you.
Yeah.
And I assume, Mike, then with Levi, is that this will all be bored in the right-of-ways. There won't be any open cuts except, I don't know what the exception would be, you know, on this thing. It'll be bored, just like if you were in Milton Township when Coli did the work out there on Cherry Avenue and some of the other Chippewa Trail and so forth. They bored it all, and man, I'm getting above my knowledge, okay? They put in a plastic pipe, it looks like to me, and they run their cable in that.
Yeah, yep.
Learning tons here. Thank you very much.
It's not very intrusive.
Oh,
I don't even know you're there.
Yeah. A little quick.
Thank you.
Our crews are very, the way I run our crews, the way our crews operate is treat it as if it's your yard or better. You know, some people, if they don't take care of their yard, treat it like somebody your yard that you respect. That's the way I want it. If that's my yard, that's what I expect, right? We want it to have as minimal impact on the community for the construction and a positive impact for the community for better internet service, so.
Any other questions, Bill? Anyone on the board?
Questions. I'll be talking to Levi.
Okay. Okay.
Sounds good, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. We'll move on to the sheriff report.
Good morning, Kevin Holt, Sheriff of Antrim County. Hope everyone's doing well. I just want to go over a few things. I'll make it real brief. I do have a lengthy thing I want to go over. Two of our patrol cars, we're going to replace one patrol car. It's well over almost 200,000 miles. We try to get two cars every year for our road patrol division. We got to have, you know, equipment that's going to work for our road patrol and also for our citizens for Antrim County. And obviously we're replacing one that was completely totaled about a month and a half ago. We talked about that before, and that's covered by insurance, and I've already got a amount that the insurance cover is going to cover, MMRMA. They're going to give us $23,400. It's a 2020, and then I put in, you know, what about the equipment that we paid for? So they're giving us a kickback of that as well. So you're looking at a $43,650 vehicle. So commissioners have to come up with extra amount of dollars. Commissioner Heffern. So they're aware of this. We communicate very, very well. So But other than that, everything is going really well with the sheriff's office. Everyone is healthy. Our complaint load is obviously starting to rise with better weather coming up. Our winter time is usually a little bit quieter, and basically that brings us to our Elk Rapids Township report. 911 checks, we had 3 911 checks. Car deer accident, we had 1. Driving complaints, we had 2 in the township. Fraud complaint, we had 3. General assist, we had 4. Personal injury crash, we had 3. Suspicious situation, we had 1. A threats complaint, we had 1. We had 15 traffic stops for the township and 1 wellness check for a calls of service of 44. Another thing I want to, I'm sorry, any questions over the township report? Another thing I want to go over is a lot of people are not familiar with squatters. People, and what I mean by that is someone that takes over your land, your property, such as your dwelling, occupied or unoccupied dwelling. Totally, completely different than trespass. Trespass is a criminal offense. Squatting is a civil infraction, or excuse me, a civil complaint. Doesn't make sense. But, so if you run into this, contact us. We try not to get completely involved with civils, but we are there as a middle person to help out the citizens to say, hey, we're here, we can help you out. The bad thing is that a squatter can take possession of a home after 15 years as long as they're showing that they're taking care of the land, and even if the landowner goes there and they have some kind of knowledge that these individuals are there, what they have to do, they have to start working on a trespass after warning. They have to serve this trespass after warning, and we can serve it for them. And after that, if that doesn't work, because obviously trespass after warning, it's going to be a criminal offense now. You can get into the evicting the individual, which is crazy. Why you got to evict somebody from your property? It's nuts. Believe it or not, we have actually ran into this. We had a couple that sold or were selling their property on the east side of the county. In saying that, they got to have a good rapport with the buyers of their so-said property. And the buyers contacted them and said, hey, do you mind if we go take a look at your property? We just want to walk around, do this and do that. Yeah, absolutely. You're welcome to go on the property, and the key is here. And so they unlock the house. They go in. It's a farm. They go in, and they squat. Now they're there. First of all, yeah, they have permission to be on the property. They have permission to grab the key to go inside the house. Do they have permission to live in the house? Absolutely not. But they were buying the house. So we had to jump through so many hoops to help these people. I mean, they were just sick. I mean, they wanted to sell their property to go and live in a warmer climate. They worked all their lives. They had this, they had a chicken farm, and very successful. And they just wanted to move on to something different. And we finally got court orders from the courts and did trespass after warnings, and it just seemed like they just kept getting doors slammed in their face. So the best thing to do is don't get hostile with them. I know it's your property. Contact us. I mean, we're not there to be bullies to them. We're there to make sure that we follow the law just like anybody else. So it is a real thing. It is here. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you, but
No.
You just touched on a moment where it switched from trespass to squatting. I want to make sure. I read this article or I saw news about it recently, and I thought, man, how do, if I'm away and someone comes into my house and my camera picks them up and I call the police, we go there, and they say, sorry, squatter's rights. You have to turn around and go home?
No, it sounds
like there's some variables, which I didn't see in the article, Kevin.
Yes.
Be cautious when you give someone a key and permit. What other criteria that we all should be aware of? I mean, I suppose a realtor is if
renters.
A person goes in with a realtor and then stays, hopefully that still gets get out, you're trespassing. But what are some of the moments where we have to, should watch for?
A rental. Like, say you have a week rental home, and they're signing contracts, and you don't check on your house. and these individuals are still there. They're squatting. They're there for 3 months now. And per se, you're not renting your rental after they rent it. And you don't come up and check on it.
So I'm hearing you say you got to let them in. Anybody, not let anybody. Yeah,
if they're
is
breaking
gonna be taken
in.
Off, is going to be taken off the property.
Yes. If they're breaking in, that's a totally different animal.
Or if the door was unlocked and they're in, you still will take him by the collar and escort him up.
Because they're breaking the plane.
You
got to
find evidence that I said, by all means, come onto my property.
That is correct.
Okay. No one is ever going to be invited onto my property.
Right.
Well,
so
it's a simple rule.
What's the weekly rental, though? Isn't there a termination date? Doesn't that give you any
teeth? There's a termination date, but it's this is where it gets sticky. So it's just, yeah, there's termination dates. But they still will go past that termination date, especially if the owners or the landlord, and I hate to say this, fail to check on their property. And like I said, 3 months later, they go check on their property, and all of a sudden they got a family living in their place that rented it and had the contract. And that's when we go, contact Bill. So they have to seek, you know, legal advice. We are there to do the trespass after warning as well. It just gets the ball rolling. They've been notified, hey, you're not welcome here. You are not supposed to be here. And like you said, squatters' rights. Do they have rights? Believe it or not, they do.
It's insane.
It is. After 15 years, they can actually, if they can prove that they've been taking care of the land. In fact, I wrote, there's a ton of elements that these guys and people have to do. To take actual possession, you got to see that they're living on the land. Open, they must show that they are openly using the land. Notorious, if the owner came to the property and they see that they're on the property and they're occupying the land. Exclusive. They must live on the property alone, not share with any other squatters. It's just nuts. And continuous. The occupation must be uninterrupted for at least 15 years. I mean, you got to be completely blind or whatever.
So is this a law from like the 1800s or something like that? Like
this one here was updated on May of 23.
We need John back in here.
It's silly. It's just.
That's adverse possession he's talking
yes,
about.
Yes, yes, adverse possession. He's exactly right. But it's just, it's there. I mean, it's.
I can't believe it's only civil. That's what really gets me.
It's, so, in my opinion, okay, on this thing, it's the consent you gave to occupy that. Every lease has a holdover provision, Dorrance, if you hold it over. But with Mike's example, if he sees it on his camera, I don't know what Kevin does, but mine, that's a breaking and entering.
It is. That's
criminal.
Totally different.
That's a whole different animal.
As it should be. Yeah. But I don't know what gives them the right. And what gives them the right is they were invited.
Excuse me. it's scary, but yet if you're paying attention to your property and to your land and your dwelling and all that, it talks about abandoned houses. Let's say you got a abandoned farm that the family no longer lives there, and maybe the courts have it, you know, probate or whatnot.
You know me well enough, so I'm going to keep going here.
I love it.
I have a party. I invite people over. We're done drinking and watching a movie, and it's time for them to go home. And one of them says, "I'm not leaving." Can I call you and say that would happen.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can call us.
What's the distinction between me inviting them being present and me inviting them not being? It seems that legally like they're the same, like right. They have the same defense in their case. Weber invited me, I'm staying.
It's a fine line. Like I said, the trespassing is a criminal portion of it, and that's where me and Dorrance, we've talked about this in the past, mm-hmm. And the best option you got to do is get that criminal documentation that says trespass after warning. It's only a 30-day, but at least it gets the ball rolling, and that shows them that you are not welcome here.
Go ahead, Bill. See, the harder issue for me, Mike, is you've been watching television on this stuff. It's the tens of thousands of damage these squatters do. How do you collect for that?
You don't.
I don't know what the insurance companies, if you even got insurance on these houses in the cities, that's a huge issue.
I spent a lot of time in Florida for work, and it's huge down there, and they go in and they strip the houses.
Yeah.
You're right, all the appliances are gone, they take the copper plumbing out, they take all the stuff out, and then, and they're in there for months, and the police department can't get them out because of the process, and then by the time the people actually get their houses back, it's junk and there's nothing they can do.
If you can prove after you did the trespass after warning that, because you can walk into your property. If it's your home, you can walk in there. You need to change locks, change locks. It's your property. But you go in there and you serve them with a trespass after warning. Now you've served them with a document that you are not welcome here anymore. I mean, you're done. And you notice that everything is kosher.
But you can't legally change the locks, right? Like once they're in there, came across this.
Yeah, it's very fine line on that, but if... Yeah,
I'd push the line.
She changed locks on her own house.
See, the other guy, what he's doing is, I'm hiring you, I'm going to rent you that house. You're going in with the squatter, and you're going to be there with them.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
You guys running a business, according to the news on some of this stuff like that.
But after you serve them the trespass after warning, and there's no damage to your home, that it's your property, your dwelling, and you can prove that that damage was not there, and they did the damage after you served them, you could possibly have a criminal complaint then.
Yeah.
MDOP, malicious destruction of property at that point.
Then your insurance might pay for it, but.
Wow. It's crazy. So just be aware of your property, especially if you have a second home or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So
keep those cameras.
You cannot threaten them. You can't be hostile. You got to be cautious.
What?
So.
Much different up here. We've got our sheriff's department and our courts following the property owners and helping them. In the cities, I think it's maybe a different
and that's why I stress it when someone's going on vacation. Let's say they're going to Florida, they go there every 3 to 4 months. Let us know. We'll have a deputy go to your house, we'll walk around it, we'll check it out, make sure there's no windows, doors, or anything like that kicked in. And they usually leave a document that says nobody should be in this house from this date to this date, and we're returning on this time, and here's our phone number. And if we get there and there's somebody there, hey, what's this person here? And a lot of times you're like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, you know, Uncle Johnny's supposed to be there to fix the pipes or something. So, but other than that, we will do that. It's very, very simple. They got to cross that path at some point on their patrol tactics.
Keep drifting back into my worry zone. I'm sorry, Kevin.
No,
I can go. I can go somewhere, and anyone who goes in my house, anytime, note or not, and I can go. I can lazily just leave. Mm-hmm. And I can leave for a year. Somebody's on site, they're trespassing.
Exactly.
And if they tell you they were invited, hopefully they need to show you proof they were invited.
Right.
Or you're just going to leave with them. Yeah.
That's
yes.
That's a little bit different. Yes.
Okay.
Or it's the plumber you called for a service call that decided to stay for.
But you have to understand that breaking and entering and squatting is completely different. Completely different. So,
thank you.
I feel for you.
Any more questions?
Crazy.
This is a great subject to talk about.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
So, oh, you want your blood pressure raised.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
We have our county commissioner.
County Commissioner, that's a tough act to follow right there.
I think Bill is squatting on Ken's microphone.
Are you going to ask me questions?
Ken was on his way, and you took possession of the microphone.
Whoever's on
the roll. Present.
Thank you. It's thick.
Oh, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It was nice to hear John speak this morning because there were so many things he touched on that I think I'm going to touch on more on even a more local level than he did. I just handed Mike our equalization report that we just received from Jamie Hauserman last week. As we all know, we all got our property taxes. We all saw the 5% increase. Ultimately, when the numbers were finally done for Elk Rapids Township, the taxable value for Elk Rapids Township went up over 8%, 8.23%. State equalized value was over 20%. Total taxable value for the township, $368 million. The second highest in the county, the Milton Township, is first overall. The contribution from the folks at Elk Rapids Township, again, it's stayed pretty consistent with about 14% of the county's income comes from you folks. So you're talking about $2.3 million comes from Elk Rapids and goes over to the county. There was a little mention about ax my tax, and so just to put it in real numbers, I think for myself, the county's income revenue is about $17 million a year. 75% of Antrim County's income is from property taxes. It's incredibly large compared to most jurisdictions. So if property taxes are eliminated, going to take us down to about $4 million. Again, $4 million wouldn't cover those services that were required by the state to provide. Courts, elected offices.
Snowblows.
Snowblows. You,
Kevin.
Kevin and I can retire. I mean, that's. I guess that's the good thing about Ask My Tax. I mean, we might as well just, I mean, there won't be any money to provide any. There won't be any road patrol. There won't be any sheriff's department. The numbers just don't add up. So, anyways, and again, as Doran said, none of us want to pay taxes. I don't want to pay taxes. I mean, the question is, if we don't pay taxes, again, this is, what are we going to be giving up? And so that's a decision for people to make.
Do you have bonds out yet, Bill?
All we have is for Meadowbrook.
Meadowbrook.
Yep.
So if they ax my tax, what happens to the bonds? What happens to the, I mean, and we all have stuff out, right? Like, do the feds just go pick that up and go, okay, here you go?
Commission on Aging. I mean, it's everything. It's really, frankly, just hard for me to wrap my mind around. And it was interesting listening to John say 20% sales tax. Okay, that was the first time I'd heard that, because I'd heard something about sin taxes, you know, cigarettes and alcohol are going to pay for all this. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Anyways, just those are the numbers that have just come out recently. So Mike's got that.
Thank you.
The public safety center. As you know, I mentioned before, the county set up a group of people. We've had two meetings. I've sat in a room for the last 2 months. It's like I'm in choir practice. The whole room is full of people who support this, and that's what concerns me. Is I'd rather be in a room with people who have got concerns about it. But nonetheless, we're meeting again Thursday at 1 o'clock in the Board of Commissioners room. This topic actually, because Mike, like you, I do follow the numbers. I do follow the money. We will get a presentation from the county's accountant in regards to how are we going to pay for this, or what are the options to pay for this. I think that will be informative for people. I've talked to Brad at length before. I have an idea what he's going to say in regards to how to fund this. We're continuing to talk about it. I do, when I say choir practice, it's we're preaching to the choir right now. I mean, I look around this room and it's people who are supportive of it. And we know there's people that aren't. And I'd like to hear from them. But always tough to get them engaged, at least on the front end. Finally, I may have mentioned this. I'll hand those out to you. On a much lighter note. Kids Fishing Day over at Meadowbrook.
Oh, thank God you're going there.
Okay. Yeah. For years, many of you are familiar with Meadowbrook, and they have the pond out front. And so every year, the Bel Air Conservation Club has dumped trout into that pond and had Kids Fishing Day. It's fish in a barrel, literally. These kids are going to catch stuff. It's just been a wonderful just community event for forever. Prior to 2020, prior to COVID, we used to have 250 kids over there and catching fish, and they take the fish home, they're minimum 12-inch trout. Some are a lot bigger. Obviously, with COVID happened, it stopped. We tried to restart it last year. We only had 30 kids there. And so I'm just hopeful, trying to communicate to this side of the county that it's available, it's free. It's just a great, it's a great activity. If anybody has time, April 27th, 9 to 2, there's no cost. Bring a pole. They provide the bait. They'll wrap up the fish for you to take them home. They won't fillet them for you. You're on your own on that. But it's just a nice event. And it's also nice for some of the residents, as you can imagine. Some of the residents at Meadowbrook, who doesn't love seeing kids catch fish, right? So some of the residents who are more mobile will be out there just watching. And so anyways, just trying to get the message out there in regards to that. Shared it with Ken. I'm hopeful the newspaper might put something in there. And I'll share with Laura as well for the village. So that's all I got. Thank you very much.
Board, have any questions for Bill?
Great. I just quick one on, you know, this important fish day.
Yeah.
So it's the Bel Air Conservation Club doing this, and yeah, they wouldn't object to people from all over coming to this because that seems like, you know, they might.
Oh. Absolutely not, Shelley.
Okay.
From anywhere and everywhere.
We used to have a fishing day here too. I'm not sure if they're still doing that in our pond every year.
It was a big deal here, the one right here at the kids' pond.
I don't think they're doing that. They're not stocking the pond that kind of stuff. I know
Don's
running. Local resident Don was running the one down at the harbor there.
There still is a fishing expo.
The expo, but I mean the kids' fishing day.
Not actually kids in the water and all.
It is.
They used to stock it at DNR fishing.
Okay. But yeah, Shelley, they won't be checking IDs. They won't be checking IDs. Promise.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
We'll move on to ambulance department. Ken?
Good morning. Looks like the Elk Rapids MMR ambulance had 28 calls last month. Looks like 14 of them were in the village and the township, and 12 were in Milton Township, and two, one to Acme and one to Whitewater. So 28 calls. I reviewed the call list there, and it looks like there were only a couple that exceeded our time guidelines, and one of those was ended up being canceled, and the other one was just a minute over out to Milton. So I think they're within their parameters pretty much. So any questions on the ambulance gig? But more than half our runs are out of our township and village. Just FYI. On to the fire report. Kind of a quiet month. We only had 5 incidents in March. We did have a great save over there on Brand Street, though. We had a structure fire that we got to right away and got it out, so we were pretty happy with that. We're still at 22 members. Class is going well. They should graduate. We should have 4 people graduate next month, so as long as they all pass that test, which is no easy task. The ambulance bays got completed. Grand Traverse Construction finished the outside trim work on that damaged ambulance door. Good to go for that. The 800 megahertz radios, I submitted a bill this month for them. You probably see that in the thing in the recap there, and that almost all got covered by that Grand Traverse Band travel grant that we got. So that's pretty cool. They're good. They're headed for programming now. Hopefully we'll have them in a month or so. Our annual firefighter physicals are in progress at Munson Occupational Health. We did get a new fire blanket. That's kind of a new tool they've come up with for fighting electric vehicle fires. So we put that in service. It actually kind of snuffs the car. You throw this great big fireproof blanket over the car and weight it down, and it keeps the oxygen away. And it's meant more for the exposures, the cars next to it, the parking garage or something like that, to keep damage to that down than the car, because there's pretty much no stopping the car once it gets going. And they've even, all the wreckers and stuff are being forced to create space for these vehicles so that they can be sequestered away from everything else, because they reignite, they are really hard to put out. Lots of problems with electric vehicles. We got to tour the new hotel downtown. I think they did a really great job with their fire protection, and we did a pre-plan and walkthrough with a bunch of our guys, so that's going to be open pretty soon. And we've completed our annual required hazmat training for our folks. Just another side note, we did have a fire alarm here in the building, and we're trying to get that sorted out with the service provider. So I know Mr. Matthews is working on that and the DPW guys. So, and I did get, we got notification that we did get the grant from the state of Michigan for those uniforms. I don't know if we've seen the money yet or not. We're hoping to get it in a couple of weeks, so be looking for that.
I believe the answer is yes. We'll come to my office after this, Ken, if you're available, and we'll look it up on the home screen.
Sweet.
We'll dig into the Michigan site.
Sweet. That's all I got.
Okay.
It'll buy us some more turnouts this year.
Any new update on the truck?
Nope, we're still looking at a little over a year. Yep, September 25.
Any questions?
We don't even have the chassis yet. That's a big holdup. Cabin chassis, they aren't even expecting to get until January. And then a 6-month build on the truck.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ken.
Yep.
Kevin, you guys had a boater safety thing at the high school not too long ago. Did I read that the other day?
Yeah,
how'd that go?
We had boater safety this last Saturday for all the area or wherever it went.
Good turnout?
Huge.
Was it? Good.
I showed up there about an hour, and they had about 32 kids in it. Great turnout. Even the adults.
I was going to say, do you get any adults? Because they probably needed as much as the kids in most cases. Yeah, that's fantastic. Thanks for doing that. Awesome. Thanks.
We'll move on to 2023 Master Plan, Planning Resolution 2024-1. The planning, and then there's a Township Resolution of 2024-8. I know I've got Matt here from the planning and Bill Derman. Any comments to be made on the first resolution?
Well, that's just for information, the Planning Commission one. They've held all the public meetings and hearings on the matter as indicated in that resolution, and they are recommending, after review and comment from the public also, the present draft as sent to this township board, and request, you know, it's up to you whether you want to approve it or not as drafted.
So just a reminder for all of us, they had public hearings?
Yes.
And meetings?
Yes.
On this? Okay.
And notified all the surrounding communities, anyone that, including the peninsula, anyone that touches Elk Rapids Township at all, even across waters.
Okay. Matt, have you got any comments?
Yeah, I Bill Derman and Larry Nix did a fantastic job on the master plan, and I think that the goal of protecting the farmers and our way of life up here that affects all of us was a big item within the discussions and some of the community feedback as well. And I think together as a board with Bill and Larry, feel really good about what we've come up with.
And there was updated maps also attached to that, because some of the old maps, they were just relying on county maps and from County Department of Equalization maps and DEQ maps, and they weren't 100% accurate at all. And they admitted that. So we tried to update them to keep more in reality what's there.
Okay. Well, I guess I'd entertain a motion. We should do them separately, Bill.
You don't approve
we
don't. The first
well, we don't
one.
Need
only
to
the second one.
Yeah.
It's
second
the township
one. Okay.
2024-8.
Okay. So we'll move on to the township resolution.
Any discussion first, or I'll just be a nay, or how do we do this, Dorrance?
Well, we'll go to the one we have. We'll go down to this resolution. We'll have discussion.
Okay.
The 2024-8?
Yeah. Resolution 2024-8. Go ahead, Mike.
Make the motion, or
no,
do
no,
my
no,
name?
No, your discussion. Okay. I figured you had.
I know you have questions.
Oh, that email was coming later. It's coming right now.
No, I wasn't going to give
first
you
of all,
time.
First of all, regret that I wasn't here for the last meeting, and doubly regret that I didn't come to your public forum, which I should have. And
oh, yeah,
could
you
have
should
done.
Have been there.
How many people attended, please, Matt?
Four.
What was it?
On the last one?
Yeah, I think so.
It was actually the last round was yeah, I think there was only four with that.
I
there
appreciate,
were more at other ones.
I appreciate that. I certainly appreciate what you said about the plan incorporating our values. And I will say I've read the plan, and I was out of town for our last meeting. and I mentioned to John's earlier, what I'm seeing and hearing in conversation, and I talk as much outside of township meetings as I do inside township meetings. So I talk to a lot of people,
really?
And I try to
no.
suck in information. And I'm getting two vibes, and the vibes strike me, and only me, as a little bit schizophrenic in terms of who we are and what we want to be. And I'm getting vibes. I'm getting certain loyalty vibes toward the future taxpayer and future resident. I'm getting vibes of loyalty to year-rounders. And I personally believe our loyalty and our service goes toward any tax-paying dollar. Anyone who puts a dollar into our coffers, we represent their interests. A lot of master plans talk about the beauty, the beaches, the water, you know, keeping the air, preserving the area. Our values are, a master plan I've learned is really stating our mission and our values. It talks about the beauty of Northern Michigan. In conversation with a super minority in town, but it dominates the conversation, it seems, is this concept of economy. And I have people sometimes try to explain what an economy is to me, and the irony is crushing. But I listen, and I try to understand what their points are, and I don't quite yet still. It seems like a loyalty to a future resident taxpayer, because the current ones value the beaches, value the cleanliness, I think value the sewer, value an awful lot of what our mission seems to be. In our master plan is a paragraph that kind of continues blowing my mind about a survey in 2015, and this will course correct me if I'm accurate. It seems to say in 2015 we got with the village, we did a survey, and people want jobs. That doesn't jibe for me with the aging retirees beachcomber mentality, which I'm getting so universally in my life. I know I'm tainted because I'm anecdotal, but no one I know has asked me for, you know, where's the economy? Quick sum, can I get that survey, please? I'm a data hound. I'd love to see the survey in 2015 where the residents of Elk Rapids asked for economy, you know, let's lean a little bit toward factory from beach. I want to reconcile it in my own head once and for all. If anyone knows where that is, if the village knows where this, I'd like to get that, please. And then
I'll contact Larry. He'll get it to you.
Do you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Bill? Okay.
I know the reference. Okay. I don't have the survey.
Cool.
Mike, do you think there's a lot of value in a 9-year-old survey?
If I answer that, I come off like I'm biased, and I'm actually seeking information right now. I'm not biased yet. The information will drive me. I'm just trying to find out where and how the community said, "Bring us. We want more people in town. We want more jobs in town." I want to find where people said that, because my gut says the majority of people, if it goes to a vote, would vote to keep Elk Rapids small, tight, beautiful. But I know I've got a personal bias in that because it's my view too.
Well, so some of the discussions that had occurred in the public comment was everybody loves the beautiful cherry trees that have recently, as you drive south of here, were cut down, right, with all the blossoms and all that, and that's why a lot of people from out of town move up here and buy waterfront property to retire to or a field somewhere. But without the farmers, those go away. And we brought that up point blank in some of the meetings, that if we don't support the farmers, which is the basis of how we all grew up here, by having production facilities, that was a hot topic. That was probably the biggest one in the last meeting, was being able to have the production facilities. And what does that mean? You process corn on your own site, if you're, you know, it's cherries or whatever, your soybeans, whatever it is that you're raising, to be able to have the ability to do that. Now, that means you can do that in your farmland, as it says in there. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're looking to put another factory next to the fire station down here or on the beach over there. But that was some of the discussion of, well, we want this beautiful area with the beaches and the flowers as you drive in, but we don't want what comes along with it to make that.
Well, if you don't mind, Matt, I'm not a panderer. I'm not saying this because Dorrance is sitting here. I grew up on farms in Elk Rapids. None of what I said was farm related or harvest related.
Right, and harvest.
And the conversations I have, which are many, none of them were farm related. They all were, we need people to come to us from elsewhere and to get good jobs, because that's what Elk Rapids wants and needs.
And maybe build up.
And I say, show me again help me understand where that's coming from, besides, you know, someone's mind, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that survey will give me great insight. But none of what I said, Matt, was farming related.
Yeah, and that was just one of the examples.
Yeah, okay.
As you're planning through for today and tomorrow down the road, it's, you know, what is the best area to maintain it as ag? Is it the sure to look at the changing some ag to commercial, which could greatly impact neighborhoods and all these other things. So I think there was a lot taken in consideration to make sure that we keep the balance. So obviously, the 31 corridor, you know, down through this area is definitely a commercial type of area. But as you expand out beyond that, you know, I don't think anybody was necessarily looking to.
Well, for me, I'd love Elk Rapids and us as a board to make a value statement. And may, and I can be voted, people can say, nay, Weber, you know, live with your own dilemmas. But I'd love for us to say we're a beachcombing community, or we're one that seeks external people to come in and get jobs because we feel like they're a necessary, you know, I'm not sure how many hot dog bun loaders I need in this town to be happy. Because that's all I want out of this town, but other people want more. And the plan says we're beautiful, but we're industrial, or we have an economy behind it, or we're beachcombing. And I think if I went to vote, I gotta believe beachcombing would be really strong. You've seen a picture of Elk Rapids from the sky, awful lot of water and shoreline. Yeah. But I want to understand the opposing view. And that survey, I suppose, will do it, Bill. Is that fair to say? I mean, it'll contain information.
I don't recall it. It'll comment on it. It's in the thing. It's in the master plan. And Larry has it. And Larry was a strong part of that survey, I know, in developing it. So in prior years with the village.
Anybody wants to course correct me right now from the public or the board, let me know.
I'll ask you the obvious question. Are you in favor of this as presented?
No, but I wouldn't be, you can't hurt my feelings if you vote yes for it. I think the town needs a firm, steady hand to say these are our values. And I for me, the plan includes a little bit, it's pleasing to too many people. I mean, this for me, what I see is the schizophrenia will continue if somehow it's not decided about who we are, what we want to be when we grow up. Because for me, the plan contains a little bit, it'll perpetuate it because it contains a little bit of that nod to, let's intensively develop, let's pick the spots to intensively develop. And all I can think of is why. And that survey might help me understand why.
Well,
or one of you can help me understand why.
Well, no, but really, Mike, part of it is, and don't hold me to this, but basically, I'll look at Bill, master plans are kind of a wish book of what people would like to see happen. To your point, it may not be point on, you know, because trends change. Let's just say, I'll use ag, that's what I know, ag, as it unravels or goes away, you may have a different trend. And I don't think the folks on the planning or even our zoning administrator can guess what trend may happen. But this is just kind of a wishful thinking of what they'd like to see happening. And that's kind of my takeaway on
kind of a direction for the town. So when we dove into the details of it, anybody, if you own a piece of residentially zoned property and you wanna put apartment buildings up or a gas station or whatever, you have the right to come in front of the Planning Commission or the ZBA. There's different levels of protection of that to actually change that. So even though you have this master plan with certain designations of property throughout the township, there is that right to come in. Doesn't mean it's going to be approved, but you can if it makes economic sense or sustainability. And sustainability actually was a big part of our discussion to make sure that it was a long-term play of, it's like a guide. It's not the rule book, but it's a guide.
It's like designing your house. You may like something someone else doesn't.
Yeah.
But it's kind of getting, trying to get a bunch of folks to collaborate together and come up with a broad vision.
I appreciate that. And if I oppose the master plan to an extended, it's probably because the vision for me is too broad. I want to live in a, well, no one wants to live in a funnel, but I live in a funnel. And when I hear things about the population is aging, the population is shrinking, Northern Michigan is full of seasonal retirement homes, I think when I talk to people, a small number of them say, we need to fight that. And it's like, good luck, how many billions will you spend before you give up? Because you can't win against the macro trends.
No.
I'd love for the plan to say we're about clean water would be a great near term. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And there's nobody on any of those boards that isn't absolutely pro clean water, sewers and that type of thing. It's the restaurant type businesses here that thrive in the summertime, and then because it's seasonal, they either die off or struggle through the winter, and then they come back. So is there sustainable businesses that we talked about that, you know, do you try to get them, encourage them to come through so that you can have jobs through the entire year? And a factory type of facility may be that's one example of many, but you know, restaurants.
This is going to sound callous, because it is, but it's, I'm intending to be democratic. Does the average taxpayer care about that? If I owned a business, I would certainly care about that, and it's my job to make that happen. But does the average Elk Rapids taxpayer care about that?
The current ones, no?
The only ones we serve are the current ones.
No, they want to keep what they have.
My gut says the same thing, and I'd love to see this. That gives us clear instruction for the master plan.
And that is my opinion also.
Mine too. I'd love data. I'd love to put a freaking vote out there if we have to say, what do you guys want to think? But to be extra controversial and provocative, no one shows up to meetings.
It's because he's got a black shirt today.
We all know why. I'm talking a lot here. Sorry to everyone. But no one comes to meetings, so whenever someone gives me their point and says this point's valid because we said it here, it's like there was no one in the audience, so it's not that. It's not a mandate unless the population supports it.
Right. So we did the best that we could as a board?
Sure.
With not really a lot of feedback necessarily. I mean,
sure.
There was some, absolutely.
I totally
get
it.
Like the house wasn't packed. And a lot of times, as you very well know, when you have the meetings with the open to the public to come in and comment, 9 out of 10 are usually the ones that have an issue.
Yes.
Or a complaint or a problem, right? It's not the ones saying, hey, you did a good job, thanks for,
The minority's always vocal.
Yeah.
Certainly in town.
Yeah, so when we heard that, we did, we absolutely did, and we all had those other discussions beyond the two.
But Mike, also, you have to realize change is gonna occur. If you're not willing to plan for some of that, whether you like it or not, you don't really have any choice in what direction it goes then. And this is kind of a futuristic vision, maybe a wish book, as I've said before, but you won't maintain what you had 10 years ago today anymore. We'll maintain today, 10 years from today, unfortunately.
You would blow a lot of my colleagues' minds if you saw me as representing the no change contingent.
I love it.
Well, I'm all change. I would love cleaner water. I would love acknowledgement of the trends, to your point, that we're aging and we're retiring and this community. And
I'm not getting
and I, I'm not anti-20-year-olds, but I. But trying so hard to bring in 20-year-olds when the majority doesn't want them and there's not a lot they can do here when they get here and the winter will drive them off anyway. I just want to get my marching orders clearly defined by the data.
Well, to your point, we'll probably all just get older.
Right.
I mean, that may be the direction we all go.
And then you'll have a bunch of houses sitting around that can be squatted.
Maybe heaven's waiting.
If my kids don't have kids, like they all say they're not gonna, I can't fight that.
No, but it's really just a group of folks trying to put together a vision of what they figure is potentially a possibility. And that's pretty anonymous, but
all right.
It's
to,
not
to guide the possibility,
yeah.
Basically, because it's inevitable that, well, it's not inevitable that it could happen, but if it does happen and somebody did come, it would be here's the guidelines. Again, not that you can't go through procedures to be able to adjust the guidelines if they meet certain criteria through Bill and Larry and that type of thing, but we had to have something in place in case. If that makes sense.
Next time we'll expect more input from you.
I missed the. I'm on my back foot. I missed the March. I missed your meeting and I missed the March meeting and I thank you for entertaining.
Well, then your late input.
Thank you for the therapy.
Well, and I'd like to add to that. So there probably wasn't a lot of people at that meeting, but these boards are here all year long and they get questions and they get permits and they live here. So, you know, they're not coming in totally blind waiting to see what the person in the audience says. That's why we have them on our boards. They know the area, they know what's going on, and people that want change or want to do something have to go in front of that board. So they do kind of have a feeling for the area and what's happening, even though that one meeting had 4 people at it. All year long, these boards meet.
There were several meetings,
yeah.
Or there was more than that for sure.
Well, if you guys don't mind, be aware that I would seek, and I think we all seek all the time, and you guys are more seasoned and more in the mix, in the stream, so to speak, and the people in the stream who care come. But I really would like to see the data. And our master plan refers to that survey where the people spoke and said the equivalent of bring us jobs. Never heard it before. Wonder if that's where it's coming from. Would love to see it, please.
I think there's not only the survey. I think it's Larry had a report on it also.
I'll take any of you guys out on the topic, please.
Reach out to Larry.
Larry will be here tomorrow.
Appreciate it.
So, we come down to...
Call the question.
Are we ready to make a motion? Anything more, Mike?
Can I make a motion?
You can make a motion.
Please.
I'd make a motion to approve Resolution 2024-8, adopting the Elk Rapids Township Master Plan as written and proposed.
Support.
Now, do you want some discussion?
No.
Or are we just gonna move through? Mike? Any more questions? I want to make sure you're...
Desire, yes. Questions, no. I'm on my back foot with questions. I should have been here in March, and I should have gone to the meeting.
Yeah, shame on you.
We'll do this.
And I should have got the survey sooner.
We will do this again.
Oh, yeah.
Someday down the road.
Yeah, appreciate that.
For sure.
If you're still here, Mike, I mean, age-wise.
He looks good for 84.
Anyways, we probably should do a roll call.
Yes.
After all this discussion.
Roll call vote, Soper.
Yes.
Weber.
I'm told I can say no and not upset the apple cart. I'm going to say no, but only because I'm not...
What a shock.
Well enough informed. And that's my own fault.
Amos.
Yes.
Boisvert, yes. Motion passes. Oh, Paltz. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, Dave.
Motion passes. But we do like diversity, Mike. We'll move on. Anything further, Mike?
Dorrance. Let's not wrestle it.
I can't help myself. Attorney's report, please.
Attorney's report for April. The Antioquia Sheriff did his report. He's about the number 44 events in the township. It's about what it's been in the recent past, five years within average. Short-term rental, we've heard from John. Mr. Roth, it's on my checklist every month. I advise, I've heard nothing. And I haven't heard anything except from you on this thing. Thank you. The sewer SAD for Karen, I advise every month that the property owners must connect and get a permit within 18 months of January 1, 2023. That period runs out. The deadline is June 30th, 2024. Otherwise, there will be an increased additional fee of $4,000. That, folks, is approximately 83 days from today on that. So before they have to, the fees will increase. Tart Trail, nothing new to report other than when last month they had a presentation at the village, which was educational. They are in their engineering stage. They plan to have the trail completed from Maple Bay to South Bay Shore sometime in 2027, according to that presentation. Hertha, I'm going to defer to Dick. I haven't heard a thing on it. Master plan, we've just handled that and had a discussion on that matter. Orchard View condo, site condo, I have nothing new to report, it looks like, and I haven't seen anything in Larry's. They're awaiting the, let me call it, final grading and asphalting of the north-south road on there. And then there is an agreement after the construction within that area that they will repave the whole road coming in. And Larry's well aware of that and keeping an eye on it. ER District Library, I'll defer to Dick. I believe they're in possession and purchased the premises on that, what they're planning and so forth. I'll defer to Dick on. Village Workforce Housing Project, township's ready on this thing. We have not received yet a approval of our land division, which is really a property line adjustment on that. And then after that, we will provide the deed, property transfer affidavit, and we'll have a property transfer agreement with indemnification provisions in it to convey that strip of land along US 31 to be connected really with their workforce housing project and to allow it to, well, I don't know where they're at within the proceedings on that. Antioquia Drain Commissioner, Phil. Excuse me, but Antioquia Drain Commissioner, there was supposed to be a acceptance, a grant, it was supposed to be done in April 2024. Has the county received that grant yet?
No.
Okay, so we're waiting for that notice. Thank you, sorry.
This is Bill.
Elk Rapids Septic Inspection Ordinance, and John Roth on this matter. Both, well, Milton Township, Elk Rapids Township, and Torch Lake Township have transfer, time of transfer, so ordinances. So when the property is sold, transferred, then they will inspect, the county will inspect the sewer and water on that. That's the only thing we can do on that. And ours is in effect, and it took effect last month.
When did it take effect, Bill? I forgot.
Well, a little bit difference between the publication and what I calculated that. But I think as of today, it is in effect, and I had an effective date of, March 11th, but I think it was published a little bit later.
Okay.
The notice in publication was a little bit later than that, but it was mid-March, okay?
Okay.
On this. Statewide sanitary code. John, give us a great update on that. I had a Traverse City Record Eagle article I was going to, again, reinforce what John DeMoose said and what we heard today, that Michigan is the only state in the United States that doesn't have a statewide sanitary code on this thing. And there's two bills pending. That's all this article really said on that matter, on this thing. I just, and it would require, you can't trust newspaper articles, I know, inspections at the time of sale. Well, we already have that. I think it's probably going to require inspections of all septic systems sometime period, whether it be 5 years or 15 years on that, and how they do it. The only thing I saw, and I was going to bring it up, that sort of was funny on this thing, John explained it. Everybody that sponsored this bill are South Dakota. Nobody's sponsoring these bills north. And
funny,
I guess it must be
out.
Something to do with the 80-20 split. Okay?
Follow the money. I always tell you.
On that. The Ask My Tax. I'm glad John gives some more information on that. I didn't have what he had, especially about it being circulated or picking up steam in the South. All I saw is on the, heard on the news on April 8th that the lady in Grand Rapids, which was one of the sponsors, was coming to Northern Michigan to promote the same. So you'll probably see newspaper articles when she gets here to start promoting it. Renewable energy. Again, thank you, John, on this thing. It was passed by the legislature, which basically takes over renewable energy controls on large-scale projects for wind energy solar and battery storage facilities. That law becomes effective November 29th. There's a group that started a petition to repeal it. I haven't heard any status of that petition. But in our February MTA Board of Directors voted to support that effort to, it's not recall, but to amend the ordinance and to put it on the ballot to basically repeal those acts. That's all I have for today.
Any questions for Bill? Dick?
This is more of a question for Shelley, I believe. Bill once again repeated the deadline of June 30th on the sewer. It's 3 months out. How many do we have outstanding that have not requested a permit? Do you know offhand?
I do not know. I think it's less than 20.
Okay, and just
people
for
have been coming in and pulling their permits.
So just for the record, then, if they come in and pull a permit, they got 1 year from the date they pull the permit on June 29th to accomplish the work.
Yep, a permit is good for a year.
Okay.
Can they extend that permit if something happens?
I'm just trying.
It has been done.
I've just been trying to anticipate how many people we will have coming and pleading that they didn't have enough time to take the action.
Good question.
He has a crystal ball.
There will be some. I'm just trying to get your
Well, there's a lot of, it's been in the paper. Notices have gone out. I've gotten four or five permits within the last 2 weeks. So personally, I don't think we're going to have a problem with that.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
And also, the folks who are in litigation was signed an agreement stating the date, so they're in writing personally known.
Then they have agreed then,
yeah,
too.
They agreed to that date.
Another question for Bill. Do we, the township board, notify the local realtors of this ordinance of inspection on sale? Or do they just have to find out for themselves?
I think it was published in the newspaper. That's all I know about that, okay? On this
That's
thing.
So our
I
obligation.
So the realtors know that. The realtors should, the updated buy-sell agreements, okay, say that there will be inspections, okay? It's basically done that. And I think the realtors know about Milton, know about Torch Lake. We were the last ones to come on board, but it's nothing, it's not a surprise to them, okay? But I don't think there was any knocking on the door or sending them a letter.
But the title companies don't list that as an
title
exception.
Title companies fully aware of that. At
but
least
they don't
Riverside
list that as an
is.
Exception, right?
Corporate.
If it's not
no.
done, that's not a title. Is it an insurable thing?
No.
Okay.
Other than any, you know, it says in new purchase agreements, I believe, that are uniform. They're not uniform around this area, especially if somebody downstate uses a downstate realtor. But it says about special assessments, it used to say they had to be paid off at time of closing, but now they say the current special assessment has to be paid off and the balance will be assumed by the buyer.
Right, but we're not in the accepting enforcement
we're not
business.
In that, you know,
so we won't know if they don't do it.
No, we're not advised. I'm going to defer or speak, but I'll defer to Shelley on this thing, is that after the property transfer affidavit is recorded, we have a change of ownership. And the village does our billing. I assume there's a notice to the village as to where to send the new bill, both pumping monthly and then the annual statement for the special assessment district is on the tax rolls, tied to the tax number. I don't know if that is.
No, you lost me, Bill.
Yeah, what I'm after is how do we know that happens?
What?
How do we, the board here, know that that point of sale, that those inspections have been completed? Is it part of the sales document? You have to have a proof of that?
In order to close.
It's an ordinance requirement, but I don't know if it's a requirement. I'd have to talk
have tons
to
of
the title companies to put it, if they put a requirement on their title commitment.
Yeah, okay.
Or not.
See, so I did put it in
I
the
I could
paper.
Ask, I'll ask them and report back.
I did put it in the paper, but there's such a variety of realtors, large and small, that right. I did not send anything out to the realtors. That's why I published it. But
I mean, it's a great thing, but if it just, if there's no way to check
no
it,
one
then
no
teeth
yeah.
in it.
Then
exactly, no teeth. No. That's, fine.
Anything else for Bill? Shelley?
No.
Okay. Township Board announcements and correspondence. Laura, do you have anything to add?
I'll just come up here in case you have anything.
I'm not really going to add anything. I sent a written report a little bit about a lot of things we talked about. Citizens Academy, I will touch on. We're going to be doing that in a couple of weeks. It'll start up, and you're welcome to drop in any of the sessions if you would like to participate in a tour of the wastewater treatment plant. We're going to do a whole lot. I'll send a detailed schedule out, and if you'd like to make an appearance and just meet some people, we're a small class, just six people right now, but very interested, very dedicated citizens to become ambassadors out there. So if there's any message that you want us to convey as well for the township, which I'm making notes about that. Because we're a community. They're not all village residents, but it's focused there, but a couple of people come in from our surrounding community too. So hopefully do some good. And you all knew about social district, and just for the benefit of people here, and our master plan and public hearings set. And I just, not officially as village, I'll cover up my village thing, as a resident, and as somebody who's been at a lot of meetings, you don't hear from the happy ones. it's by and large.
Mike's coming to yours, by the way.
Yeah, come on in.
We're going to send
And we welcome that, but I would never take it as a lack of interest or apathy just because you didn't have people knocking on your door to say, we like this. I'll be one of those citizens, I liked it for your master plan, so that's separate from my report. But
you're a rare breed.
I will say my dilemma is not so much about the happy or sad coming. It's the strength of the mandate, Laura.
Right.
I mean, democracy.
I know. I actually made a note. I'm going to make an appointment with you. I've got lots of notes. We can talk.
Cool.
So, anything else? Thank you.
Thank you. Dick?
One thing on Hertha, and Bill transferred that to me. There was a marketing issue, but which I normally don't get into because I'm just interested in the building, that I believe was resolved for a citizen within our township. Came to my attention.
What, when you say marketing issue?
A difficulty in trying to schedule through their system. It's their marketing of the building, which generates income for them. But if you can't get a hold of them to market, then they're not generating income.
Sounds like we need to hurt the app also.
Unnamed citizen.
Okay, anything else? And Mike, any last words?
You didn't say a wisdom.
I'll leave it wide open. I love your spirited debate, though. It's very good.
For myself.
Yeah. Anyways, meeting's adjourned. Thank you.